AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You, my friend, are listening to Home. I'm Dean Sharp, the house whisperer. That's what they call me. Craftsman, builder, custom home designer, here to help you turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home, like we do every Saturday morning from 6 a.m. before the sun rises to 8, and every Sunday morning from 9 after the sun rises to 11. Did you get that? 6 to 8 Saturday, 9 to 11 on Sundays. I am so happy to be with you today, as I am every weekend. Today is the day. What can I tell you? You know what? There are some events so infrequent and so important in life that, you know, you move things around in order to accommodate them. I'll give you a clue. What only happens every 4 years in this fine country of ours and has the potential to change the course of American history? No, not elections. I'm talking about the drywall show. Today's show, the drywall show. I realized not long ago that, we're nearly 4 years into this fine program. And yet, I have not set aside an entire show for drywall. That's right. Drywall. A boring building material or the most boring building material? Well, we shall see. But today, we're going to take a deep... I was going to say we're going to take a deep dive into drywall. That's not a good idea. Today is, in fact, the eagerly awaited, postponed from last weekend, intended to do it last weekend, and then we went, a part one and two on design trends. So it's been waiting, and then it had to be we had to wait one more week. I know you were frustrated. I know it's all you could think about this week. I realize that your business trip was canceled. You postponed your vacation. I know you went to bed early last night just so that you would be up and ready for the drywall show. Nevertheless, you don't have to wait any longer because here it is. Here we are. We're going to take a serious look at this really pretty amazing material. How amazing? Well, if you are sitting indoors right now, the odds are that, I'm going to say the odds are 98% that you are staring at walls made of drywall. But drywall is one of those materials where, you know, it just doesn't get a whole lot of respect. First of all, it doesn't get much attention unless something is wrong about it. And then in terms of installing it or finishing it, just nothing but complaints. Everybody complains about drywall. It's messy. I messed it up. And so on and so forth. This material has found its way into 99% of the structures in our world. That has got to tell you something about where it has come and what kind of a material it is and how useful it is to us, despite the fact that it doesn't get much of our respect. So what am I, drywall, we're going to elevate it today to its proper place in the pantheon of building materials. And by the time we're done, you're going to have a much better understanding of it in regards to your home, a critical, practical understanding. All right, that's my promise to you. We've also got all sorts of good stuff happening on social media. You should know that. Same handle for all of our social media outlets, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, At Home with Dean. Same handle for all of them. At the bottom of the hour, around about 6:30, we're going to go to the phones, find out what is going on with your house today. So regardless of whether it's a drywall question or any other kind of question, design question, construction concern, DIY query. Oh, look at that. It's 6 a.m. and I said query. Anything along those lines and anything in between, feel free to give me a call. I would love to talk to you and see if I can help you out with whatever is happening in your home today. The number to reach me, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. 833-2-ASK-DEAN. The phone lines are open now. Jump into the queue. Hang in. Listen to the show while you're in the queue. And then we will talk. All right. Let's say a quick hello to the team. My lovely bride, Christina. I'm going to turn up your mic. Grab your mic. It's a big reach. You're sitting way over there.
Hello.
Good morning, love.
How are you?
I am well.
We really haven't spoken.
No, we have. We've just been like grunted at each other this morning. You're a big drywall fan.
I love drywall, and I love drywall mud.
Drywall mud finishing.
Yes. That's it.
You have a hand, an adept hand at finishing a drywall wall.
True story. I textured the entire house.
You did?
I did.
On your own?
On my own.
I mean, I hung the drywall. And
you
then
did.
You finished all of it. Everything that everybody sees, entirely your doing.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sam on the board. How you doing, bud?
Not bad. How you doing?
We're good. We're good. I'm just so excited about our show. What can I say?
I have a question. It's show related.
Yeah. Okay.
There's drywall. Is there wet wall?
Great question.
You know what? How do I say it? There is such a thing. There's actually a kind of drywall that we often refer to as wet wall. And we'll talk about it.
Excellent. I can't wait.
Morgan, the boss.
Good morning, y'all. How are you guys?
Good, good. Did you also go to bed early last night in anticipation of the drywall show?
I actually giggled to myself because I haven't slept. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, you just couldn't get you were so excited you couldn't get to sleep.
Literally, I could not sleep tonight because I had a feeling that we were going to talk about drywall finally.
Yeah,
so I'm ready.
I kind of figured. Yeah, it's what, you know what? Our show is what keeps Morgan up most Friday nights.
You know.
I'm just saying.
It's the only thing that keeps me up. It's true.
That's right. It's not like she doesn't have a social life or anything else. She just stays awake alone in her apartment
honest,
at night.
Honest, like, let's get into it. I'm so excited for this drywall.
Rob Newton!
Let's not waste time. Let's get to this drywall thing. Come on.
All right. Everybody is charged up and ready to go. I hope you are, too. I'm so glad you joined me this morning. It's going to be disappointing. It really is. Hang tight. We are just getting started. You are listening to Home with Dean Sharp. The house was... Education. We don't need no thought control. Teacher, leave them kids alone. KFI.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Dean Sharp, the house whisperer at your service. That, of course. See, there you go. The wall, because drywall. I get it. I was waiting for it. All right, everybody. Dean Sharp, the house whisperer at your service. You're listening to Home, where every week we help you better understand that place where you live. Hey, coming up in just a few minutes now, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take your calls. So if you want to give me a call about anything that's going on with your home, feel free. The lines are open. You can jump into the queue, and then we'll talk. Or, you know, hopefully we'll talk. The number to reach me at, 833-2-ASK-DEAN, 833-2-ASK-DEAN. All right. Here we go. Let's talk about drywall. Perhaps one of the most ubiquitous building materials around us in our lives. You know, there are very few places you ever go where you aren't surrounded by this stuff. So you better hope that that it's in good shape and that it's not harmful for you or things like that, because it is everywhere. Drywall. It is a panel made of, we all know this, right? Calcium sulfate dihydrate. Calcium sulfate dihydrate.
There Nerd alert!
Warning.
Yeah. Okay.
Warning.
Oh, we're just getting started. We are just getting started. What is calcium sulfate dihydrate? It is gypsum. Gypsum is a mineral. It is found in the earth. It happens to be one of, I think, the second lightest, second softest mineral on the face of the earth. What is the softest, you might ask? Well, I'm pretty sure it's talc. Talc, T-A-L-C. You know, the stuff that baby powder is made out of. Only talc is softer and lighter than gypsum. Gypsum then is mixed. It is extruded between some thick sheets of face and backer paper, and guess what we get? We get drywall as a result. Gypsum has been used as plaster since its discovery. In fact, the word gypsum comes from a Greek word gypsos, which means plaster. So some people call drywall. Some people call it sheetrock. That's actually a brand name, by the way, like Kleenex, not facial tissue, but Kleenex. Sheetrock is a brand name that was, back in like 1917, was locked up by a company making drywall. Some people call drywall plasterboard. And I've literally seen builders get into arguments with each other about, like, you know, don't call it plasterboard because we're not doing plaster work. Well, they are wrong. We are, in fact, every time you use drywall, we are doing plastering. Not old school traditional plastering, but a new form of plastering. Drywall is plaster put in between, put in board form. Let me tell you this. Here's a little fun fact. Because the quarries, Tina, you will enjoy this, because the quarries of gypsum of the Montmartre district of Paris was for a time the largest and most popular European gypsum quarry, okay? Gypsum became known as Plaster of Paris. Oh, that's right. Plaster of Paris. It's gypsum. It's the powder that you mix with water to make plaster to do artistic sculptures or to cover a wall with. North America produces, only about 42 billion square feet of drywall every year. The average American home contains 7 tons of gypsum in it. Plasterboard's been around since the late 1800s, but it was the mid-1900s that drywall became the dominant North American building material for sheathing a wall. Why? Because it saved time, it saved labor over traditional lath and plaster techniques, and, oh, here it is. It was in my notes here all along. Sheetrock was trademarked by USGS in 1917. All right, when we dive back into drywall, we'll talk about the differences between using plasterboard and old traditional lath and plaster. And if you know nothing about how walls are put together, you're going to understand this when you're done. You know those old, any movie that's got an old haunted house or an old broken down house, and you see a big hole in the wall, right? And you see all of a sudden the white finish of the wall stops and it chips away. And there are all those little boards, all those little strips of board behind the wall. That's lath and plaster. That's what we did to walls before drywall came along. I'll explain all of that and then we'll dive into what drywall is doing for us. how to handle it, how to finish it, and what the future is. So it's all drywall all morning with us. But when we come back, we're going to go to the phones and take your calls. You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. That's me. We're talking drywall today. We're going to dive back into that in just a bit. But as promised, it's time to also go to the phones, find out what is going on with you. Let's talk to Rick. Hey, Rick. Welcome home.
Yeah, good morning, Dean. I have travertine stone pavers on my patio. Recently, I had them power washed, and the fellows washed quite a bit of the sand from between the joints. I'm concerned about rainwater or whatever getting below those pavers. Is that a problem? Do I need to re-sand the pavers?
Okay, so they were actually, they weren't grouted together. They were just sand jointed together?
Correct. They're on a they're sitting on a compressed bed of sand. The parameters are locked in concrete, so they don't move. But you know, they put a sand material, which is, I don't know if it's sand and maybe a mild concrete kind of mix. You know, so the sand hardens, but it's not like a grout.
Yeah, yeah, it's a silica sand, and it has a polymer mix to it so that it stays kind of sticky and stays in place. And so you're saying that they pressure washed it, and yeah, so that mix, by the way, is available at Better Tile Stores. You can find that mix, and it would not be a bad idea at all. You want to maintain the full height of the silica sand, not so much because of anything getting down inside there, because that driveway of yours is designed to be a permeable paving structure. So moisture moves down through the joints to the base underneath and is reabsorbed, and too much stuff, of course, just runs off. So that's not a concern, trying to block what penetrates down through. But the sand, just like grout in between those stones, are ultimately a critical part of holding them all straight and in place with each other, and holding them stable. So you want to keep it as high as possible. And the easy part is, if you want to do a if you want to add a tiny bit of that mix to silicone, and all you need is just a very little to add to some new silica, you can do that. Or you don't have to. The fact of the matter is, you can just get yourself some silica. You pour it out, just like when they initially built the surface. They poured silica right out on top of all of the pavers, and then you can just broom and brush it into all of the grooves, and then just sweep off the excess, and you'll be good to go.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds simple enough. All right.
Yeah,
well, thank you for your advice.
Just pour it out. Yeah, you don't have to. The nice thing about paver systems is that you don't have to get real specific and pour stuff down in the cracks. Just buy an excess of silica sand, pour it in a big pile all over the driveway, and then push broom it around until all of the grooves are filled up, and then brush off the rest, and you're done. Rick, thanks so much for your call, buddy, and good luck with that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's talk to Michael. Hey, Michael. Welcome home.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good.
All right. So good morning to you and your crew. Just had a quick question about a bathroom. I have a two-bedroom condo with 1.5 baths, so I really only have one full bathroom. And it has a pretty large bathtub with a shower. And I was curious on your opinion on whether or not I'd take a big hit on the value of the condo if I were to rip out that tub and just make it a really nice walk-in shower. That's a tough question, I know, but
yeah, well, okay, so you know, I don't
because it, you know, then the whole place won't have a tub, and you know, I've heard
conflicting stories. That's the thing. So let's just, I'm going to give you the scoop here. Here's the scoop real quick. It comes down to this. First of all, the idea of taking a bathroom these days and getting rid of the tub and turning an otherwise ordinary shower into a big, beautiful walk-in shower with no curb on it, that, without question, Michael, raises the value of your property.
Okay.
People shower these days, 99 times out of 100, people shower. They're looking for great showers, walk-in showers. And a walk-in shower also takes into account, in terms of resale, it takes into account aging in place. It is ADA accessible. Not only is it sexy as heck, but it also is just so easy to access, and it makes a smaller bathroom look larger because the tile floor is uninterrupted by a dam line down at the floor. Those are all of the pros. Those are all true statements. The one downside is this. The reason why people say, oh, I don't know about taking out the tub, is should you be looking to sell your place to a young family, what we recommend to almost every one of our clients in terms of like their whole house is take out every tub you want, but try, if possible, to leave one. Because, if you've got a young family, if you've got toddlers don't take showers, they take baths. And so it may rule out your condo for resale for a young family. And condos are the kinds of places where young families tend to get started anyway. So you're going to have to weigh the balance there of, is it likely that I might sell my condo to a young family if I sell my condo? And will I be ruling them out as a potential buyer versus raising the value and getting a better price and a better experience in general for my condo by having a walk-in shower? And that, my friend, that is the hinge point of the conflict.
Gotcha. Yeah, I appreciate that. And then my second question is if I decide to keep the tub and just retile everything around it, what is your opinion on reglazing or resurfacing a tub, because this tub needs it? Do you think it's better to just, if I'm ripping out the tile and I'm in there anyway and, I'm kind of redoing stuff, is it in your opinion that I should just go ahead? And it's a rather large tub, so I'm assuming it's going to be pretty expensive to replace. I haven't dug into it.
When you say rather large tub, what are we talking about? I mean, is it a 30-inch deep by 5 foot wide tub or something bigger than that?
I honestly didn't take any measurements, but I'm not a small guy. I'm 6'4", and I can sit in there and take a bath fairly comfortably. I don't take baths.
I'm 6'3", and I can fit comfortably into a 5 foot by a 30-inch tub as well, but yours may be larger. You know what the best thing you can do, Michael, is just price it out. Go find out the price of a new tub versus the resurfacing costs. 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to say just replace the tub, especially if it's a 30 or 36 inch by 5 foot tub, like a Kohler Villager tub, cast iron, brand new, going to last for eternity. It's about $350 on the shelf at your local home improvement store. Okay. So unless the tub has got some fancy funky features, chances are replacing it, you're going to get a better tub and it's going to be cheaper than the whole resurfacing process. Michael, thank you for your call, buddy. I'm up against a break. When we come back, shall we take another call? Yes, we will. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer.
Drywall, magical drywall. It is not wet wall, drywall tonight. Drywall, magical drywall. Stupendous drywall. drywall tonight.
I'm speechless. I have no idea what just happened there.
Well, you're welcome, done. America.
Well done.
I think I'm pretty sure Sam just sang a drywall song.
I did that during the 3 minute commercial break.
Beautiful.
That was
impressive.
Wow.
Now I really miss being
at the station. Wow. Hey, KFI, Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Wow. Welcome home. All right. Before we get back to our topic today, and one guess what that is. Let's go back to the phones and see if we can't answer another question or so. Why don't we talk to Jason? Hey, Jason. Name of my son, by the
way. Hello, good morning.
Welcome home. Good morning, sir.
Hi. Good morning. I have a question in regards to a garage on my house, and it's finished on three walls except for the, you know, the roof ceiling part, and I was contemplating, you know, finishing it off. Because my wife is thinking that if I finish it off, it'll help, you know, keep the temperature in the garage a little more consistent.
Right, right.
So, you know, right now it's just open all the way up to the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
So, would there be an advantage then if I finished off the ceiling?
Okay, gotcha. All right. Would there be an advantage as far as insulation and cooling? Well, yeah. I mean, yes, there would be. But the drywall in and of itself is not going to help that much. What the drywall will do is it will hold in place all that new beautiful insulation that you pack up in there above it. And then yes, you're going to see a big temperature differential in the garage. So insulating that area above the garage ceiling, that is your big advantage. And you can totally do that. And if you got the means to do it and the will to do it, you should do it. It will also make your garage just look better, having the ceiling drywalled out there. So the things you need to know, though, you got to evaluate the ceiling in your garage. A lot of folks have what we would call minimalist garage ceilings. You've either got a truss roof ceiling set up in there, or you've got just some ribbons, you know, some ribbon joists running across, meaning that you may only have something every 4 feet, maybe every 2 feet or so. Good idea to go ahead and fill in some additional ceiling joists in the garage ceiling before you drywall, so that the drywall that you put up there has got good nailing to lots of wood as you go, instead of just doing the minimal stuff, because you also don't want your drywall to be sagging after a while. And as far as the kind of drywall that you would put up there, you could use a half-inch ultralight drywall, just because it is stiffer and it has a greater sag resistance than standard half-inch drywall. Or you can use 5/8 drywall for a little extra fire protection because it's thicker and it has a larger fire rating as well. Either way, though, again, it's not, you know, I'm going to show my hand a little bit. Near the end of the show, I want to talk about the future of drywall and something in regards to heating and cooling, but not, well, we will talk about that. But that is not the kind of drywall we're talking about on the market today. So the drywall that you would put up in your garage space in and of itself, just like drywall in a house without any insulation above, it's not going to be a huge benefit, but it will hold the insulation in place. And that, my friend, gets you all the way home. All right, Jason, thanks for your call, buddy. When we come back, everybody, so much more. We're diving back into drywall yet again. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, on KFI.
Mom, Pa, not the way that I do love you. Well, holy moly, me oh my, you're the apple of my eye. Boy, I never loved one like you. Man, oh man, you're my best friend. It's bringing to the nothingness. There ain't nothing that I need. Well, hot and heavy pumpkin pie, chocolate candy, Jesus.
This gal will sing a drywall song for us. Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to covers of my drywall song.
Well, I, you know, anything is possible, Sam. Perhaps not probable, but anything is possible. Hey, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. Hey, thanks for joining us for the second hour of the fine program this morning. I'm Dean Sharp, the house whisperer, craftsman, builder, custom home designer, here to help you turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home. Yeah, if you were with us just a couple of segments ago, then you heard really a KFI first. You heard Samzia just come back from break singing singing drywall lyrics to the theme of Star Wars. And just for those of you who heard that, I'm sorry. Also, those of you... No, in all seriousness, Sam is also available for bar mitzvahs and weddings. And so just email us here at the program and we'll
set
you up. I
might use him
for
mine.
There you go. There you go. He has one song, though. Just know that. It's the Star Wars drywall song.
Let's get him dancing.
Same song again!
If that works for your theme, for your wedding theme, then I'm also sorry, Rob.
I've got like seven different remixes of it, too.
There we go.
So you're by next week, you're expecting to hear just go on the internet and hear a bunch of covers of the drywall
Star Wars. Kanye West just hit me up right now and actually is asking me to do that same drywall line on his next track.
Yes, I'm afraid just further proof that Kanye West is not stable. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's dive back into the topic of the year, drywall. I promised you this, that I was going to explain lath and plaster to you, because the drywall is just the modern version of lath and plaster. So let me get to it. Lath and plaster is a process where boards as a base are nailed to the studs of your wall and ceilings, right, with space in between them. Why are there thin little boards, and why is there space in between them? Well, they're thin because we don't want to take up too much lumber for that, because they are simply a backing. And we put space in between the boards so that the plaster that we actually scrape onto the wall keys its way in. And we say key. In other words, it smooshes in between the boards, and then it kind of mushrooms out on the backside. And as it dries, it holds itself in place. The cracks in between the boards is what allows the wet plaster, once it dries, to hold itself onto the wall. It grabs onto it. Does that make sense? So the very first iteration or evolution of drywall as we know it was actually a kind of plasterboard that replaced the wood lath. So instead of the wood, back in the early 1900s, the first things we saw were companies producing what you would see as drywall. But the drywall had a bunch of holes in it, okay? And it's what we used to refer to as button board. And the holes did the same thing that the gaps in the wood used to do. It would allow the plaster to squeeze in through the hole, kind of mushroom out on the backside, and that holds the plaster in place, right? So sometimes paper and wire is used. I still use paper and wire today when we need to do a tricky surface that a sheet of drywall is just not going to be able to handle. We still plaster whenever drywall get the job done these days. So plaster and lath is not, even though it's the oldest form, it is not extinct by any means, especially if you are a custom home builder and are asked to do some tricky things with wall surfaces. But
as an alternative to what used to be a week-long plaster application process. A whole house can be drywalled in a day or two by a couple of experienced drywallers. And drywall is easy enough to be installed by a lot of homeowners and DIYers, hence why we are talking about it at great length today. Drywall comes in various thicknesses, everything from a quarter inch, three-eighths, half inch, five-eighths, three-quarter inch, if you've never seen it, one-inch drywall. These are commercial applications, obviously. Drywall comes in typically four-foot lifts, but the length of a drywall board can be anywhere from 4 feet. You can go from a 4x4 square of drywall all the way up to a 4x16 foot piece of drywall, which means in a typical room, no seams all the way across the room, right? No end seam, which Tina would love a lot. Now, at the beginning of the program, Sam asked the question whether there was such a thing as wet wall, drywall versus wet wall. Well, not exactly, but there is a product that we refer to as wet wall or wet board, and it's what is known as green board in the industry. Green board is a drywall that has been put together with, and I'm not going to bore you with the chemical composition, but there are various additives in the board, and we call it green board because when you go to the home improvement center or the lumber yard to pick up your drywall, you will see that it is intentionally sheathed in green paper. So these are green sheets as opposed to the typical gray sheets of drywall. Green board is moisture and mildew resistant drywall. By code, we put it into bathroom scenarios, and we put it anywhere there is high moisture area. But let me be clear about this. Green board is not waterproof. Green board is not to be confused with or used as tile board. Please don't ever set tile on any kind of drywall. Use tile backer board for that. I know you can find videos on the internet where guys are setting tile with adhesive onto drywall. Don't do that. Not what it's for. Drywall is for open wall area, and green board is for your bathroom because there's a lot of steam and splatter and that kind of moisture in the air coming off the shower and the bath and those areas. So it is wet wall in the sense of moisture and mildew resistance, not in the sense, though, of being waterproof, just not a thing. There are also forms of drywall that do other custom things, like Quiet Rock is a sound-dampening drywall. Here is the one thing, before we dive to the break and come back, and the one thing I want you to know about drywall is this. Are you ready? Please listen to me. Drywall is not holding up your wall. It is not holding up your house. And why do I say that? I say that because some people are concerned about the idea of ever opening it up or making a hole or making a cut in it. And when we get around to actually deciding how to remodel your home or what to do or where to do it, there is so much time and money that can be saved if we do a little forensic surgery on a wall. For instance, maybe we want to find out, is this wall a shear wall? We want to open up a section of this. We want to figure out, hey, what's up in this soffit over my kitchen cabinets? Well, we cut open a little section of drywall to peek in. People are so hesitant to do that because they are under the misnomer that that the drywall is a structural element of the house. It is not. So you can take the skin off of your interior walls, see what's really going on, make the best decisions possible. And drywall is relatively inexpensive of all the building materials. Cutting open a 2x2 hole in a wall the right way, and then if it all comes to naught, patching it back up and refinishing it and repainting, very, very relatively in the scope of things, inexpensive way of getting the answers that you need. That, above all things, is what I want you to understand about drywall today. But I've got so much more to tell you. So we'll do it when we come back. There you go. I'm so glad you joined me this morning. Hang tight. There's more to come. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. KFI. Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, at your service. We're talking drywall today. I know. I know. You've waited so long. We're having as much fun with it as we can, okay? All right, back to it. Where did I leave off telling you all about? The one thing I want you to know about drywall, that it's not holding up your wall. So open it up and see what is possible when it comes to your remodel. Why drywall? Why drywall? Why do we have it all around us anyway? Who decided this is the stuff that we're going to put on the wall? Well, you say why drywall, you really have to ask the question, why plaster as opposed to anything else? Well, think of what the alternatives would be. I will tell you what the alternative is and was, and that would be wood paneling. I'm currently working on a home in Sierra Madre, almost 117-year-old home, designed and built by the world-famous architects Green and Green, who are responsible for California Craftsman design here. Legends, architectural legends. This was a kind of a hunting lodge kind of a home that was its original intent, pushed up against the mountains there in Sierra Madre. And the entire interior of the house was clad in the same material that they clad the entire outside of the house with, which is batten board siding, Douglas fir batten board siding. There was no drywall or plaster to be seen anywhere in the entire house. Now, that was part of their intent and part of their design. But the point is this. If you're not going to put plaster on the wall, then you're going to end up with some other kind of sheet good or paneling. And here's the thing. Paneling, wood paneling, is expensive, number one. Wood expands and contracts with moisture. Because some of you are thinking, well, I can get a better wall surface if I used a 4x8 sheet of masonite. Well, yes, you could. You're absolutely right about that. Just one little problem. Masonite expands and contracts with heat and cold. And so if you think you've got issues with drywall seams cracking on you, don't even get started if you actually put wood paneling on the wall. And wood has seams. You cannot cover the seams of masonite panels or wood panels the way that you get to cover the seams of drywall or plaster. And so drywall, aka the modern plaster application, is a very, very logical choice and has a logical reason for existing. Let's talk about installing and finishing it, shall we? Installation and finishing of drywall is usually split between two groups of people if you do it professionally. You got the hangers and you got the tapers. So if you hire a drywall contractor, the first crew that comes out, they specialize in getting the boards on the wall. And that is a specialty in and of itself. And they just go. They blow and go. Hanging those boards. Then, after the boards are hung, a taping crew comes in. Or sometimes they're called the tapers. Sometimes we call them the float crew. These are the guys who finish the joints. They tape the joints. They cover the fastener heads with drywall compound and end up sanding up the wall and making it finished and ready to go with whatever you're going to do on it next. Now, some of you have heard about finishing levels of drywall. Some of you haven't, but just so you know, drywall can be finished anywhere from what we call level 0 to a level 5, okay? Where 0 is not finished in any fashion and 5 is the most pristine. So here are the levels for your FYI. Level 0, finish is just no finishing. It's just the drywall boards hung on the wall. Once the drywall is on the wall, there's no tape, there's no mud, it's just drywall and the fasteners. That is a level zero finish. Level one and level two hardly ever get talked about because if you're going to do level one or two, you jump all the way to three by definition anyway. But here it is. Level one means joint tape has been embedded in joint compound, but nothing else. Okay, so the nail holes haven't been filled or the screw holes. Just the joints have been taped. And believe it or not, there are applications where that's all we need. For instance, if you don't care about the aesthetics of a room, but you actually have been required to put up a fire barrier, okay, then what you need is you need the drywall board hung in the wall and you need the joints taped so that fire can't lick in between the gaps in the boards. And that's all you need. You need level one, okay? Level two is joint compound over the tape and we cover the screw holes, right? So you're going to stop at level two if you intend to cover the wall surface with something else, paneling, or if you're going to put a backer board on. No, not wallpaper. Wallpaper requires a better finish on it than that. But level two is if you're going to cover over this wall anyway with something else. Level three is what most of us have. Level three drywall finishing is all of the joints are taped, all of the screw holes are filled, and there's a second coat of joint compound over the tapes and the screws. Plus, it's now ready for what we call a knockdown texture, right? Which is a spray texture that goes onto the wall. Some of you refer to it or have heard it referred to as orange peel, or sometimes it's sprayed and we call it a knockdown because then they take a trowel and they kind of flatten it out. It's that rough, bumpy texture that you see on so many homes. That's the least expensive and the easiest and fastest and most cost-effective way of finishing drywall, and that's why most of us have it in our homes. It's not the best drywall finish. It's just what we would call a builder finish. And that dimply texture, that rough texture, covers a multitude of sins. But the way it plays with the light, it doesn't show itself off and say, look, I'm perfectly pristine and flat, therefore I'm a perfect wall. No, the wall can be all sorts of wrong, and that covers a lot of it up. Level four is a classic drywall finish. It's one more thin coat of joint compound onto the tape and screws, and then it gets sanded out. And level five, if you are actually looking for smooth walls and smooth ceilings, you tell your drywaller, I want a level five finish. Level five is the highest possible pristine level. It is a full skim coat over all of the drywall once all the taping and screw holes have been filled. It's at least one full skim coat. It evens out all the rough spots, and level five is straight and smooth and in theory, flawless. There you go, levels one through five. The best way to get a great drywall job is to prep and shim and plane the walls before you hang the board. All right, I got so much more to tell you. We'll dive back into it when we come back. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer.
Drywall magic.
Oh my God! We're doing it again.
It's not wet wall. Drywall tonight. Drywall magical drywall.
We actually got a lot of calls requesting it again. How did that even happen? KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. And yes, we're talking about drywall. Wow. Yes, we actually did get calls. Calls saying, yeah. Okay.
All right. You know what? I asked for it. I asked for it. I made a big deal about the show. And now this is where we're at. All right, let's dive back in. Installation of drywall. By the way, can I just comment on this from a personal note? Tina is one of the world's most fantastic drywall specialty surface finishers. She is extraordinary. That's why she has textured. It's not level five in the sense of absolutely smooth, because that's not what we were going for. It is level five in the sense that we have a skim coat over every surface of drywall in our house. And it is her artistic hand that has given it kind of a Santa Barbara, I don't even know what to call it. It's your own personal brand of distressed texture. It's very old world and beautiful. So Tina loves that kind of thing. I hang the board and make sure the taping gets done. And let me just tell you this. I hate drywall hanging. I just hate it. I just don't. It's one of my least favorite things in the building process. But I do it. And I do it okay. So let's talk about installing drywall. Drywall is not cut, okay? You don't cut drywall with a saw, at least not when you're cutting the big sheets in place, unless you just absolutely want an absolute mess on your hands. Drywall is scored. You get a straight edge, you get a sharp knife, like a utility knife, you score the drywall, and then you snap it along those scores. When it is affixed to the wall, you know, there back in the day we used to use drywall nails, and that was a special shape of head on the nail that had a little cupped head to it so that it could receive the topping compound over it to cover it. Now it's all screws. Bugle head screws, though, right? Not just any old screw, specialty drywall screws. The bugle head screws compress the drywall in without cutting into it, and that is critical. So I've been asked this question so many times. What is the prop? What should it look like when a drywall screw is properly attached? And it should look like this. There should be a tiny dimple in the drywall. You should see the screw head, but the screw head, after dimpling the board, should not break the surface of the paper. If you break the paper surface, it's a fail. Okay. And if it's being inspected, believe me, and you have a lot of that, everybody expects it sometimes, a little here and a little there. But if the inspector sees that on most of your screws, it is a fail, and you're going to have to go back to it. So the easiest way to achieve this, by the way, is either to get a specialized drywall screw gun, which there is such a thing that the pros use. And if you have a lot of drywall to hang, you should get one too. Or you can take your normal screw gun, put it on a ratcheted clutch setting so that it will only screw in to a certain level of torque and then stop, and then get a drywall dimpler bit. A dimpler bit is just a little bit that goes on the front of your screw gun. They cost literally like $4 for a pack of five of them. And the dimpler bit has a little pan shape on it that limits how far in it will push the screw, and it gets it just about perfect every time. The edges of modern drywall sheets are now tapered, all right? They're thinner than the body. And the reason they're tapered is so that you can put two tapered edges together and you get better tape coverage. In other words, now that the tapered edge is there, when you put the drywall tape on, it's not all the way out on the surface of the wall. It's recessed a little bit. That leaves room for the tape and for the taping compound to flush out with the rest of the wall. All right, now let me tell you one of the most important things that I've seen in DIY drywall issues, and that is the compounds that we use to cover over things. I'm going to explain something very quickly and very importantly here, so listen up. Most people, DIYers, they go to the store, they're looking around, and they see all-purpose compound, and they think, oh, that's the easiest stuff. All-purpose compound handles all phases of the drywall covering process. It handles setting the tape, it handles filling the screw holes, and it handles doing a topping coat, okay? But you need to know this. all-purpose compound doesn't have the same strength and stability as if you were to separate the process and use two separate compounds. One, taping compound. Taping and second coat, that's what it's for. It is strong. It has virtually no shrinkage to it, and it resists cracking. But you don't use taping compound for finishing. You use topping compound. That's your final coat. It's easy to use. It dries quickly, and it sands really smooth. So, you heard it here. If you are going to DIY your own project, my suggestion to you, and you know the main complaint that people are like, I tried to do my drywall really well, but the seams, like, there are cracks on the seams and all that. Okay, let's start with this. Don't buy the universal all-purpose compound. Go ahead and get taping compound for the seams to set the tape and topping compound to finish it off. The combination of those two, way better finish in the end than just using the all-purpose for everything. You got it? Okay. When we come back, let's talk about dry or wet sanding your drywall and a couple of other options that you've got along the way and the future of drywall. We will discuss that when we return. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. KFI, Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer.
Welcome home.
All right, back to drywall. All right, so you got your boards hung on the wall. You got them all taped off. You've got whatever topping compound set on the drywall surface that you wanted to use to whatever finish level you wanted. Now the question is, what's next, Dean? Well, yeah, sanding. That's what's next. Now, let me make a clarification here. You have two options, dry sanding or wet sanding. You know what dry sanding is. That's sanding. You know, you let the compound dry, and then you're going to get out sandpaper that is designed for a drywall topping compound, and you're going to go to town on it and smooth it out. You can, for most topping compounds, and the topping compound will tell you, in its instructions or specifications, if it is designed to be wet sanded. Now, what that means is this. It's not really wet sanding. It is damp sanding. You're going to get a sponge with a slightly abrasive pad on one side of it. You're going to have a bucket of clean water, and you're going to get that sponge wet in the water, and then you're going to wring it out completely. Okay? The difference between, I think I've given this instruction before on our tile show, the difference between a wet sponge and a damp sponge is a wet sponge, when you squeeze it, water will come out. A damp sponge feels wet. You can tell that there's water there, but you have squeezed out every bit of it that you actually can, okay? Damp sponge. And while the compound is starting to set up, okay, not when it's completely wet, it's a mess, but as it's starting to set up, in other words, it's kind of sort of dry to the touch, it's just become dry to the touch, you can swirl a sponge nice and flat on the surface of the wall, and a lot of folks find success in being able to smooth out the topping compound sufficiently with a damp sponge. That's what we call wet sanding. There's no dust, no mess. What do the pros do? Almost inevitably, the pros will dry sand the house. They're good at it. You ultimately will get the finest, best sanding job if you dry sand. But you need to know that there's going to be dust involved. Now, there are drywall dust-free sanders. I say dust-free, minimal dust sanders that you can rent at your local tool yard. They're an orbital sander. It comes on a long handle so that you can reach all the areas of the wall, and it hooks up to a shop vac. And they really do work incredibly well. Major dust minimalization. And you should always put on a mask as well. Unfortunately, the mask you should wear is an N95 or better respirator, and those are in short supply these days. But just telling you, that's the way it works. As far as tools are concerned for your drywall, the things that have probably revolutionized drywall for pros and DIYers both. Our these little rotary cutout tools, little Dremel tools with a rotating bit, like a drill bit, but the bit is designed to cut through drywall for cutting out electrical boxes and little tricky corners and things like that. These things are invaluable these days. So if you've got a lot of drywalling to do, definitely get yourself one of those. They're not expensive tools at all. And if you have to just cut in something into your existing stuff, like let's say you're adding a recessed can light, there are several products out on the market that are recessed can light hole cutting tools for drywall that come with an integrated dust tray. So you would hold this thing up to the ceiling, it'll cut the hole, and there's a little bowl basically underneath it or a pouch that handles the dust from that mess that you're making up there, so that you make it as clean as possible. Okay, the future of drywall as we're wrapping up here. Number one, you should be aware that part of that future has already arrived. It arrived about 10 years ago when ultra lightweight drywall was introduced. It is stronger than regular drywall. It is 30% lighter than regular drywall. It is more sag resistant than regular drywall, and a lot of it is more fire resistant than regular drywall. So, Dean, are there any reasons not to use ultra lightweight drywall? In my opinion, no, there are no reasons not to use it. And if you've got a lot of drywalling to do, believe me, that 30% lighter weight ratio of carrying the stuff around or holding it up on the walls makes a major difference. The future of drywall? Wait a second. The future is this. There is a company right now developing what we call phase change drywall. And what that means is there's an ingredient, a paraffin bead ingredient in the drywall that is designed to, right, take it down just a little bit, is designed to freeze at room temperature. What does that mean? It means that the drywall that we will put on the houses of the future will have the thermal storage cooling capacity of like 3.5-inch concrete walls or 4.5-inch brick walls. In some situations, it is going to reduce the need for air conditioning by up to 50%. It's not on the market right now. It's coming soon. All right, let it go, everybody. It has been a pleasure being with you here today. We're just going to close out with Sam's drywall song. I will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's show, all calls, all day. Call in. Let's just talk about your home. It's been a privilege, as always. Handle on the Law is up next. Until tomorrow, get out there, build yourself a beautiful life. Oh, my good dear Lord.
Drywall, magical drywall, stupendous drywall. Drywall to